Hello friends, we are on chapter 14, a very important chapter, especially when we talk about external commercial borrowings. And here you have to know a lot of regulations relating with the external commercial borrowings, especially there are different guidelines from government and various other RBI directions also. The basic objective of this chapter would be to understand the external commercial borrowings, the trade credit borrowings, and lending in foreign currency. Next important aspect of this chapter is to understand who are eligible to access the external commercial borrowings. And finally, we are going to understand the manner in which external commercial borrowings can be accessed. Let us first understand the framework of raising the loans through external commercial borrowings. External commercial borrowings are commercial loans raised by eligible resident entities. Please note, it is raised by eligible resident entities from the recognized non-resident entities. So these are basically raised from eligible resident entities from the recognized non-resident entities, and the framework for raising loans through the ECB comprises of three tracks. So we will have to understand what exactly these three tracks are. When we talk about these three tracks, track one is meant for medium term, 1 and 3 to 5 years in foreign currency. Track two is meant for long term, that is 10 years in foreign currency. And track three is meant for INR, that is Indian rupees, ECB, for 3 to 5 years. So these are the basic three tracks. Let us see one by one each one of them. When we talk about track 1, this is medium-term foreign currency denominated ECB with minimum average maturity of 3 to 5 years. Manufacturing sector companies may raise ECB in foreign currency with minimum average maturity of 1 year. So, manufacturing sector have been provided a softer maturity of 1 year. Track 2 is long-term foreign currency denominated ECB with minimum average maturity of 10 years. And track 3 are meant for Indian rupee denominated ECB with minimum average maturity of 3 to 5 years. When we talk about manufacturing sector companies, they can raise the Indian rupees denominated ECBs with minimum average maturity of 1 year, like we have seen in the previous slide. So this is specifically the framework for track 1, track 2, track 3 for both foreign currency as well as Indian rupee denominated ECBs. Next, let us see what are the different forms of ECBs. These forms of ECBs include loans including bank loans, securitized interest, the buyer's credit, the supplier's credit, the foreign currency convertible bonds, the financial lease, the foreign currency exchangeable bonds. So these are the different forms of ECBs which can be raised. What are the applicable routes for raising ECB? So this is another important slide, which makes specifically a mention of two different routes. The first one is the automatic route and the second one is the approval route. What do you mean by the automatic route? Automatic routes have cases that are examined by authorized dealers category 1. And in case of an approval route, the prospective borrowers are required to send their request to Reserve Bank of India through the authorized dealers for examination. FCEB can be raised only under the approval route. So this is very specific as to whenever a resident Indian wants to raise any ECBs, they have to take care of and note about these two routes, automatic route and approval route. Automatic route can be directly sent to the authorized dealer category 1, whereas the approval route has to be sent to the government through RBI, through the authorized dealer category 1, and that is how the protocol has to be followed for different types of routes for raising the ECB. What are the parameters of ECB? ECB should conform to various parameters such as minimum average maturity period, the eligible borrowers, the recognized lenders or investors, and all in one cost. So these are the parameters that need to be conformed for raising ECBs. Let us see one by one. We will examine these parameters for all the three tracks together. When we talk about minimum average maturity period for track 1, it is 1 year for ECB up to USD 50 million for companies in manufacturing sectors only, 3 years for ECB up to USD 50 million, and 5 years for ECB beyond USD 50 million. whereas track 2 is specifically for 10 years irrespective of the amount, and track 3 is same as under track 1. Next parameter is eligible borrowers. For track 1, companies in manufacturing and software development sectors, shipping and airline companies, SIDB, SEZs, Exim Bank, etc. come under track 1. Under track 2, all entities that are listed in track 1, as well as REITs, INVITs coming under regulatory framework of SEBI will come under track 2. Whereas track 3, again, all entities listed in track 2 and all NBFCs coming under the regulatory purview of RBI will come under track 3. So these are all the eligible borrowers for raising the ECBs. What about the recognized lenders or investors? Here again, we have recognized lenders or investors for the three tracks specifically mentioned under track 1, international banks, international capital markets, multilateral financial institutions such as the IFC, ADB, CDC, export credit agencies are included under track 1. Under track 2 comes all entities that are listed under track 1, but for overseas branches, subsidiaries of Indian banks. And track 3 comprises of all entities listed under track 1, but for overseas branches, subsidiaries of Indian banks. In case of NBFCs, MFIs, other eligible MFIs, not-for-profit companies and NGOs, they are in track 3 category. Next, we will see all-in cost parameter for raising ECB under all the three tracks. Under track 1, all-in-one cost is prescribed through a spread over the benchmark, that is 450 basis points per annum over 6 months LIBOR or applicable benchmark for the respective currency. Track 2, the maximum spread over the benchmark of 6 months LIBOR or applicable benchmark for the respective currency will be 450 basis points per annum. And track 3, the maximum spread will be 450 basis points per annum over the prevailing yield of the Government of India securities of the corresponding maturities. Next, we look at another parameter at end use prescription. The negative list of all tracks would include, so we have a combined list for all the three tracks, especially the negative list. The first one is investment in real estate or purchase of land, except that is used for affordable housing as defined in the harmonized master list of infrastructure subsectors notified by the Government of India. The next item in the negative list is investment in capital market. Next is equipment investment, working capital purposes, general corporate purposes, repayment of rupee loans on lending to entities for above activities, that is 1 to 6, all these are included under the negative list for all the tracks under the end use prescriptions. Next, the parameters individual limits. Let us see first for the automatic route per financial year for all tracks. Up to USD 750 million or equivalent for companies in infrastructure and manufacturing sectors, NBFCs, IFCs, NBFC, AFCs, holding companies and core investment companies. Up to USD 200 million or equivalent for companies in the software development sector. Up to USD 100 million or equivalent for companies engaged in the microfinancial activities. And up to USD 500 million or equivalent remaining entities would come under this category for individual limits. What is the currency of borrowings? ECB can be raised in any freely convertible foreign currency as well as in Indian rupees. So these possibilities will be always there, especially for currency of borrowings. What is the requirement for hedging? Borrowers eligible shall have a board approved risk management policy and shall keep their ECB hedge 100% at all times in case of average maturity is less than 5 years. What is the security for raising the ECB? All category 1 banks are permitted to allow creation of charge on immovable assets, movable assets, financial securities and issue of corporate and or personal guarantees in favor of the overseas lender security trustee to secure the ECB to be raised by the borrowers. So this is a specific permission given to the AD category 1 banks. Whereas issuance of guarantee by Indian banks, that is a specific provision which needs to be noted. Issuance of guarantee, standby letter of credit, letter of undertaking or letter of comfort by Indian banks or India financial institutions, NBFCs relating to ECB is not permitted. So this has to be carefully noted. What about the parking of ECB proceeds abroad? ECB proceeds meant only for foreign currency expenditure can be parked abroad pending utilization. So ECB proceeds only for foreign currency expenditures can be parked. So this again has to be noted, especially relating with parking of ECB proceeds further proceeds abroad. Then when we talk about parking of ECB proceeds domestically, what are the guidelines? ECB proceeds meant for rupee expenditure should be repatriated immediately for credit to rupee accounts with 80 category 1 banks in India. So there is a provision for repatriation immediately to the rupee account with 80 category 1 banks in India. You can have conversion of ECBs into equity. Conversion of ECBs including those which are matured but unpaid into equity is permitted. Exchange rate prevailing on the date of the agreement between the parties concerned or even the lesser rate with the mature agreement can be applied for conversion of ECBs into equity. So conversion of equity ECBs including those which are matured but unpaid in equity is permitted. So this is possible. Now let us understand, after understanding various parameters of raising ECBs, we will also understand the procedure for raising the ECB both for the approval route as well as for the automatic route. Let us first understand the procedure for approval route. The borrower may approach Reserve Bank of India with an application in the prescribed format for examination through the 80 category 1 bank. ECB proposals received above certain threshold limits would be placed before the empowered committee set up by RBI. So this is specifically for those proposals which are above certain threshold limits are required to be placed before the executive empowered committee set up by the RBI. In case of automatic route, the borrower may approach the 80 category 1 bank with the proposal duly filled in form number 83. So this is a procedure that has to be followed for approval route as well as for the automatic route. Are there any requirements for reporting? Yes, there are requirements of reporting. The first requirement is any drawdown in respect of the ECB as well as the payment for raising ECB should happen only and only after obtaining the loan registration number. So the LRN number is provided by RBI and this is the first requirement to obtain the LRN from RBI. This is especially for reporting. Permitted changes in ECB parameters should be reported through form number 83 to the DISM not later than 7 days from the changes effected. So this is the first important reporting to be done. There is a specific form meant for this. Borrowers are required to report the actual ECB transactions through the ECB to return through 80 category 1 bank on monthly basis to DISM within 7 working days from the close of the month. Now that's all about ECB. Now we move to the next important actually raising that is done in the form of foreign currency convertible bonds, popularly known as the FCCBs. The issuance of FCCBs was brought under the ECB guidelines in August 2005. So now this FC issue of FCCB is also brought under ECB guidelines since August 2005. Issuance of FCCB shall conform to the foreign direct investment guidelines, including the sectoral cap. The minimum maturity period requirement is 5 years. Call and put options cannot be exercisable prior to 5 years. Issuance without any warrants attached and the issue related expenses not exceeding 4% of the issue size in case of private placement. So this is all about FCCBs. Let us move to FCEB, which we call it as foreign currency exchangeable bonds. Foreign currency exchangeable bonds can be issued only under the approval route. This we have already seen in our previous slide. FCEB can be only issued under the approval route. Here the minimum maturity is 5 years. Bonds are exchangeable into equity share of another company, but issuance shall conform to the provisions contained under Regulation 21 of Foreign Exchange Management Transfer of Issue of any Foreign Security Regulations 2000. So they have to follow these regulations for issuance. Next, we move to refinancing of ECB. Refinancing of existing ECB with fresh ECB is permitted. So that is possible. Fresh ECB should be raised at a lower all-in-one cost and residual maturity is not reduced. Overseas branches, subsidiaries of Indian banks are permitted only to refinance ECBs of highly rated AAA corporates as well as the Navratna and the Maharatna PSUs. There are powers delegated to 80 category 1 banks to deal with the ECB cases. These powers are for changes, modification in drawdown, repayment schedule, changes in currency of borrowings, change of AD category 1 bank and cancellation of the LRN, the change in the name of the borrower company, transfer of ECB and prepayment of ECB, change in the recognized lender, as well as the change in the name of the lender. These are the powers delegated to AD category 1 to deal with the ECB cases themselves. Next, power delegated to AD category 1 also includes change in the end use of ECB proceeds, reduction in the amount of ECB, change in all-in-one cost of ECB, refinance of existing ECB, as well as extension of matured but unpaid ECBs. We have borrowings by entities under investigation. Can these entities under investigations borrow? All entities against which the investigation is pending may raise ECBs as per the applicable norms if they are otherwise eligible. So this is very clear about borrowings by entities under investigation. The borrowing entity shall inform about the pendency of such investigation to the authorized dealer category 1 bank and RBI as the case may be. So this information about pendency of the investigation has to be reported to the authorized dealer category 1 bank as well as to RBI as the case may be. Then we can see that ECB by entities under the Joint Lender Forum JLF for the corporate debt restructuring, all entity which is under the JLF or the CDR can raise ECB only and only with explicit permission of the JLF CDR empowered committee. So this specific requirement has to be followed, especially when ECBs by entity under the JLF or the CDR want to have this facility. What about dissemination of information? For providing greater transparency information with regard to the name of the borrower unit, amount, purpose and the maturity of the ECBs and automating approval routes are put on RBI's website on a monthly basis. So here this information dissemination happens, and this has to be put on RBI's website on a monthly basis for providing a greater transparency. We have to have compliance with the guidelines. The primary responsibility for ensuring the borrowing is in compliance with the applicable guidelines is that of the borrower concerned. So borrower has to follow meticulously all these guidelines. Any contravention of applicable provisions of the ECB guidelines will attract penalty under FEMA. The designated AD category 1 bank is also expected to ensure compliance with the applicable provisions of ECB guidelines. So both the borrower as well as AD category 1 bank connected with it has the responsibility of complying with the ECB guidelines. ECB's facility for startups. So startups can also have this specific provisions for ECBs. AD category 1 banks are permitted to allow startups to raise ECBs under the automatic route. Their minimum average maturity will be 3 years. The lender or investor will be a resident of a country who is either member of the FATF or a member of FATF style regional bodies. Overseas branches or subsidiaries of Indian banks will not be considered as recognized lenders. The borrowing can be in the form of loans or non-convertible, optionally convertible or partially convertible preference shares. So we'll see more about the ECB facility for startups, especially on the currency. Any freely currency, convertible currency can be for ECB, or ECB can be raised or in Indian rupees or a combination thereof. Amount is agreed between the borrower and the lender. All in one cost shall be mutually agreed between the borrower and the lender. Then end uses for any expenditure in connection with the business of the borrower. Conversion into equity is freely permitted subject to the regulations applicable for foreign investments in startups. We have some more norms for ECB for startups. The security can be in any nature of movable, immovable, intangible assets, etc. Corporate and personal guarantees allowed. Exclusion will be for issuance of guarantees sent by letter of credit, letter of undertaking or letter of comfort by Indian banks or Indian financial institutions, NBFCs, is not permitted. Hedging, the overseas lender in case of INR denominated ECB will be eligible to hedge its INR exposure through permitted derivative product with AD category 1 banks in India. As far as the conversion rate is concerned, the foreign currency INR conversion will be at market rates as on the date of agreement. So these were the provisions specifically for raising ECBs for startups by startups. ECB facility is also available for the oil marketing companies. Especially the public sector oil marketing companies can raise the ECB for working capital purpose with minimum average maturity period of 3 to 5 years. And from whom they can raise is from all recognized lenders under the automatic route without mandatory hedging requirements. However, the overall ceiling limit would be $10 billion. That is a framework for issuance of rupee denominated bonds overseas also. In the previous slides, we saw about foreign currency raising, and now we should learn more about the framework for issuance of rupee denominated bonds overseas and what are the regulations relating with this rupee denominated bonds overseas. Enables the eligible resident Indians to raise only plain vanilla rupee denominated bonds issued overseas in a financial action task force compliant financial centers only. Next important regulation relating with this framework is the bonds can be either placed privately or listed on exchanges as per the host country regulations, and any proposal of borrowings by the eligible Indian entity should be forwarded through the AD Bank to Foreign Exchange Department of RBI Central Office Mumbai. So this has to be done for raising of rupee denominated bonds overseas. There are some parameters for borrowing as to minimum maturity. That is up to $50 million per year with minimum maturity of 3 years. The parameter for eligible borrower would be any corporate or body corporate. Indian banks will be eligible to issue rupee denominated bonds overseas, and these rupee denominated bonds can only be issued in a country and can only be subscribed by a resident of a country. So this parameter has to be followed for rupee denominated bonds. There are some more parameters of borrowings. First one is the exchange rate for conversion shall be in the market rate on the date of settlement. As far as hedging is concerned, the overseas investors are eligible to hedge their exposure in rupees through permitted derivative products with AD category 1 banks in India, and the leverage ratio can be as prescribed by the sector regulator. Now let us look about routing of funds raised abroad to India. What are the provisions for this? Funds raised abroad by overseas holding associates, subsidiary groups, companies of Indian companies with support of Indian companies or their ADs cannot be used in India unless it conforms to the general or specific permission granted under the relevant regulation. So this has to be noted quite precisely. Next, we move to trade credits for imports into India. Trade credits refers to the credits for imports into India directly extended by the overseas supplier, bank and financial institution for maturity up to 5 years. Depending on the source of finance, such trade credits include supplier's credits or buyer's credits. Supplier's credit relates to credit for imports into India extended by the overseas suppliers, while buyer's credit refers to the loans for payment of imports into India arranged by the importer from a bank or financial institution outside India. So these are the provisions related with trade credit, which includes your supplier's credit also. Let us look more details into it. How the raising of loans as trade credit can happen? What are the parameters relating with this? First one is available route. Automatic route, ADs are permitted to approve trade credits for import of non-capital and capital goods up to $20 million. In case of approval route, proposals beyond $20 million are considered by RBI. So automatic route, the cap is up to $20 million. In case of approval route, anything above $50 million are considered by RBI. Maturity prescription for non-capital goods is 1 year from the date of shipment. For capital goods, it is 5 years from the date of shipment. As far as the cost of raising credit, trade credit is concerned, the all-in-one cost ceiling for trade credit is 350 basis points over 6 months LIBOR. Guarantee for trade credit, AD category 1 banks are permitted to issue bank guarantee in favor of overseas supplier, banks or financial institution up to $20 million per import transaction for a maximum period of 1 year, for import of non-capital goods up to 3 years for import of capital goods. So one has to carefully note, a guarantee for trade credit, AD category 1 banks are permitted to issue bank guarantee in favor of overseas supplier, bank or financial institution up to $20 million per import transaction for a maximum period of 1 year for import of non-capital goods. As far as import of capital goods are concerned, the maximum period is up to 3 years. trade credit transactions are subject to monthly and quarterly reporting to RBI. Now let us look into the borrowings in foreign currency by an authorized dealer. Are they permitted to borrow? Let's see the provisions on that. Borrowings may be from head office or branch or correspondent outside India of the authorized dealer or any other entity permitted by RBI. Next important provision relating to this is aggregate amount of borrowings up to 100% of unimpaired tier 1 capital of the authorized dealer or such other limit are decided by RBI or $10 million, whichever is more. So this is the provision as far as the borrowings in foreign currency by an authorized dealer is concerned. Lending in foreign currency by an authorized dealer. What are the provisions for lending? Let's see these also. Loans may be extended by a branch outside India of an authorized dealer in the normal course of its banking business outside India. Loans and credit facilities extended by an authorized dealer or its branch outside India will be subject to compliance with prudential norms, interest rate directives and guidelines issued by RBI. So RBI guidelines plays a major role as far as the lending in foreign currency by an authorized dealer is concerned. Borrowings in foreign currency by a person other than authorized dealer. Is that possible? You are looking at now a person other than authorized dealer. It is possible for execution of projects outside India and for exports on deferred payment terms by a person resident in India from a bank situated outside India. But there are guidelines with, as far as the guidelines are concerned, it has to be done in accordance with Foreign Exchange Management, Export of Goods and Services Regulations 2000. Second important point is for import of goods, an importer in India can avail foreign currency credit for a period not exceeding 6 months in compliance with export import policy of Government of India. And the third important manner in which a person other than authorized dealer borrowings in foreign currency can be done is by borrowing for borrowings by resident individual a sum not exceeding $2,50,000 from close relative outside India. The minimum period is 1 year. And the other important provisions with this is it has to be of free of interest and the amount of loan to be received by inward remittances in free foreign exchange through normal banking channels or by debit to the NRE FCNR account of the non-resident lender. So these are specific provisions as to how borrowings in foreign currency by a person other than authorized dealer can be done. Next, we will see some other provisions relating with lending by Indian entity to the WS or JV in accordance with the Foreign Exchange Management Act, Transfer of Issue of Foreign Security Regulations 2000. They have to follow these regulations. Lending by select institutions like Exim, IFCI, SIDB, etc. may be extending loans to the constituents in India out of the foreign currency borrowings raised by the institution with the approval of central government for the purpose of onward lending. Next important is lending by Indian companies to their employees of the branches outside India for personal purposes in accordance with the lender staff welfare scheme. Finally, let us look at the structured obligations. Borrowing and lending in Indian rupees between two residents does not attract any provisions of Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999. The non-resident guarantor may discharge a liability by payment out of rupee balances held in India or by remitting the funds to India or by debit to his FCNRB or NRE account maintained with an authorized dealer bank in India. Reserve Bank of India has granted general permission to a resident being a principal debtor to make payment to a person resident outside India who has met the liability under a guarantee. There is some more provision about facility of credit enhancement. The facility for credit enhancement by eligible non-resident entities, regional FIs and government-owned FIs to domestic debt raised through issue of capital market instruments such as repo-denominated bonds and debentures is available to all borrowers eligible to raise ECB under automatic route subject to certain conditions. Thank you.